Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy,
oh, what joy
they bring to me.
They bring to me.
How I
love
what's more to be.
What's more to be with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
A memory.
Oh, what joy,
oh, what joy
they bring to me.
They bring to me.
How I love what's more to be.
What's more to be with my friends at the old country church. My thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious
dreams
of memory.
Oh, what joy
they bring to me.
They bring to me.
How I love
with my friends at the old country church.
Well, good morning, everyone. Greetings in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Fathers, we open your word this morning. I'm asking the Holy Spirit to come forward, to open our hearts and our minds to be receptive to this your word, Father, and that He will give us a greater understanding and more knowledge, Father, of your word, so that we can go forth, Father, to help others along the way to the Lord Jesus Christ, so they too can find salvation, and that they'll be able to repent and put their trust in Him and bring Him into their lives so that, Father, they can make heaven their home. Now be with us, Father, throughout this study. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. We're going to be in 1 Timothy, 2nd chapter. We finished the first chapter last evening. Now, you know, in reading our Bible, there is so much that it's not the idea of missing it. It's the idea that we don't really think about it, to see what place it has in our lives. And this chapter has got a lot of things that way, that really most of our churches don't really think about. The Lord Jesus Christ, He went into synagogue, found money changers and them selling different things there in His church. He made a whip and run them all out, turned the tables over on the money changers and all of that. And He told them, He said, my house is to be called a house of prayer, and you've made it a den of thieves. We're going to be starting out here with this first verse. I want you to really listen to it and to what it's saying. He says, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. That's a short verse, isn't it? And it tells us to pray, you know, for all men. And we really stop there and don't think much more about it. But you know, he says, first of all, which actually means most important of all. Prayer is to hold the preeminent place in church meetings. And there's four different types of prayers that are mentioned here. Supplication. Actually, supplication prayers are requests for specific needs. That's why we make supplication prayers. And then we go on, and prayer is a general word embracing various kinds of prayer, confession, adoration, and so on, but also the intercessions that is mentioned here denotes prayers to God on behalf of others, praying for others, which we are to do. Then last, the giving of thanks. And you know, we should never go to the Lord in prayer without thanking him during that prayer. The prayer of thanks. Because you see, when we give that prayer of thanks, that is also a prayer of praise in thanking God for what he's done for us and what he is doing for us at that time. These all should be in the church. Now, at some churches they are, but most they're not. Well, they'll have what they call prayer. All right, now verse 2. For kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty. Now, there are reasons why the prayers there in verse 1 are to be offered, and to be offered for all men. You know, one, the Christian may enjoy a tranquil life. That's one reason. And another reason is that in such praying, that is always good and acceptable to God. Always. And then, you know, prayers like that help bring about the salvation of men. We pray for salvation for others. And you know, we always do here in this ministry, about every Bible study, we're praying for others to come out of darkness and come to the light, that being the light, the Lord Jesus Christ, so they can find salvation. But when we read this, like most read the Bible, they don't look at these things. They don't see the depth of those two verses and what and how they should be placed in theirs and our lives. Now, 3. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. It's always good in the sight of our Lord and Savior. 4. Who will have all men to be saved? You see, God wants every one of us, every man, woman and child, to be saved. But we're not robots. And we have a choice of how we want to live our lives. And we can either choose to live that life for the Lord our God, or we can choose to go the ways of this old wicked world out here and Satan, which is what most right now are doing. Most today, that's what they're doing. They're living according to this world out here. I want the newest and the best car. I want the biggest and the prettiest home on the street. I want more money. Than most around me's got. But you see, that's not according to the Word of God. That's reaching out here to this world and wanting the things that are in it instead of laying our treasures up in heaven and serving Him to make heaven our home when we step out of this life. And whatever you want to believe, one day you will step out of this life. And if you have always been one that would not accept the Lord Jesus Christ, and you've always thought, oh, that's just a bunch of baloney, you're going to find out different. But then it's too late. And you've lived your life making hell and that lake of fire your home throughout eternity. I can't speak to no one but me, and I sure don't want that. No. No way, shape, form, or fashion. Now, therefore, he said, who will have all men to be saved? He wants us all to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. That is the knowledge of his word and the truth of it. We don't teach things contrary to the word of God. And as we have already found out this week in our studies, that this is the doctrine we are to preach, the Bible, the apostles' doctrine. Now, for there is one God, one mediator between God and men, the man Jesus, Christ Jesus. There's only one way, and there is only one mediator, and that is Jesus Christ. Now, we work for him and the Lord God. We serve them. We do what they want us to do. And we are given the authority to use the name of Jesus. We are given the power to do whatever. By the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. He brought us the power when he came into our lives to be able to do anything is asked of us to do. Now, 6, who gave himself a ransom for all, to be testified in due time. We know he gave himself the ransom for all. And Paul, the writer of this, being divinely ordained a teacher of the Gentiles, shows that if sinful pagans are instructed in faith and variety, in other words, truth, then he says, surely God does indeed want all to be saved. And he does. It's your choice. Don't blame God when you stand before him and you hear him say, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity, because I never knew you. Don't blame him. It was you. You chose how you were going to live. And that choice is either to live for him or the ways of the world and Satan. Because you go the ways of the world, that's what you're going to do. You're going to be following Satan. He is the prince of this world for the time being. And he ain't going to be that much longer. No. Because you see, we already know where he and all of his demonic army is going. We're told that in the Word of God. And there's going to be a lot of mankind go with them. Because they've been following him and listening to him instead of listening and following the Lord our God. Now, here in 7, he says, Paul, he says, whereunto I am ordained a preacher and an apostle. I speak the truth in Christ and lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. Think about that. Because you see, when he's talking about faith and verity, that is truth. And that's letting you and I know that God does want all men to be saved. Now, I will therefore that men pray everywhere. How? How should I pray? I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. Don't go to God in prayer angry and doubting about what you are praying. Remove that doubt. Get rid of it before you go to God in prayer. Now, 9. In like manner also, we're getting ready to get in trouble now. Yeah, I'm getting ready to get in trouble. I'm going to have people talking about me. Guarantee you. In like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with braided hair or gold or pearls or costly array. Leave all that jewelry off. You are a woman of God. You don't need it. Because you see, God's not looking on that outward beauty. He's looking on that inner beauty. And are you obeying the word of God? He goes on here in 10. He says, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works. In other words, just like a woman is supposed to dress that is professing godliness. 11. Let the women learn in silence with all subjection. Now, you see in public worship services, women are to learn in silence. They are subject to the church leadership. Twelve. But I suffer not a woman to teach nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. You see, the prohibition against women teaching in the church is qualified again by Titus chapter 2 and verse 4, which allows them actually to instruct other women and probably also children. But she is not to pastor a church. Because you see, for them to do that, they go out into a room. They're out of the church. They're not out of the church building. That's not what I'm saying. But they're out of the assembly. And, because you see, they are not to stand up before the church and speak. Oh, now, Pastor, that's just not right. You're wrong. You're wrong, just wrong as you can be. I know a lot of good women, pastors and all. Yeah, maybe you do. I'm not saying they're not good people. What I'm saying, they got no business up there pastoring the church. And why? Because you see, when you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, and let's start here with verse 31, because that's where a lot of them get the idea from verses like this, because they don't read the rest of it. For you may all prophesy one by one, that all may learn and all may be comforted. You see, there says all. Yeah, it does. Verse 32. And the spirit of the prophets are subject to the prophets. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. All the churches, not one or two, not certain kinds, as in all churches of the saints. Let your women keep silent in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. 35. And if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home, for it is a shame for women to speak in the church. Came the word of God out from you, or came there unto you only? If any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. Now, there is a lot of things being taught today that is contrary to the Word of God. Especially within our churches. Now, let's get back to verse 13. For Adam was first formed, then Eve. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. Notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing if they continue in faith and charity and holiness with sobriety. In other words, she, long as she is that woman's primary ministry is that of childbearing and the raising of the children who will become godly adults and leaders. And as the old saying goes, the hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. She is to teach other women. And she is to help teach the children. We need more godly women. I'd love to have a church for them. Because most usually women will work harder than most men. That is the problem within our churches today. We have too many churches where the men are not doing their work. They're not doing their job. And they have set back and brought women in to do their work instead of her doing hers. So when you have a church that is operating according to the Word of God, you've got a church that is filled with the gifts of the Spirit of Almighty God. Does that mean a woman can't pray for healing? No. She carries these gifts, but they are to be used the right way. And I guarantee she'll come across a lot of things that you and I don't. That's just the way things are. We need our godly women, but we need them doing their work. For one, I don't have time to do their work. And for another, there's a lot of things and even a lot of places they go that you and I as men should never do. Well, what's that? For one, you don't go in to a home where there's only a lady by yourself. Because it causes talk. It's not the idea anything is wrong about it. I'm not saying that, but it's what it causes. If I have to go and visit a lady, take one with me. Don't go by myself. Take one with me. Take a lady with me. Now, there is times that you may have to. As I said, there's nothing wrong with it, unless you make it wrong, but it does cause talk. And we don't want that. Now, Paul says here in 14, these things write I unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly. 15. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of the truth. You see, Paul is in his, what's too many pages. Now, my Bible, me and this Bible who went around, and there in 14, Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived within the transgression. 15, notwithstanding she shall be saved in childbearing, if they continue in faith, in charity, holiness, with sobriety. We have come to the end of chapter 2 now. I'm not going to get into chapter 3 because here we, again, we're going to be dealing with some things that very few have paid attention to and that really needs to be taught in our churches and all that is not being taught today, really. When you come down to it. You see, a lot of these chapters and verses, because they don't agree with them or they want to do something different, they leave them alone. They never speak about them or on them, through them, or anything that way. They want to leave them alone. And they go on about sitting around and taking 2 and 3 days to put together a sermon, as they call it, that really ends up to be storytelling. And most usually has very little of the Word of God in it. They'll have word here and there, but very little. And then, most usually, it's contrary to the Word of God. Think about that. Because this is the time that we are living in today. And we need to be into the Word of God. We need this word taught as it is written. Not what I wanted to say, but what it says. As we close this word, let us go to Him in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we close your word, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. Father, we thank you for a time that we come together each and every day to share your word with each other and to others around about that we can reach out to through the internet, Father. This internet is a way of reaching out to others. We thank you for it, Father, for being able to touch others that are not present with us in the flesh, but that are with us in the spirit. And Father, for Jerusalem and Israel, we pray for peace for them. And Father, more than that, we pray for them to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, as their Messiah, so that Israel will be known as a land for Jesus. This nation of ours, Father, we need thy help, Father. And we need for all of your children to come together during this election coming up to remove from office those that has brought so much evil upon our own people, Father, and to replace them, one that loves you, loves your church, and will work with your people to bring this land to repentance, Father, and to work with us to put our government back upon the foundation in which it was founded, and that being your word and the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us, Father, to reach out to those that are walking in darkness, and by the Holy Spirit being with us, that, Father, they can be led from darkness to light, and that light being the Lord Jesus Christ. We know that we can't give the increase. Father, we know that the Holy Spirit has the power, has your power, Father, to bring them. Let them flow, let him flow through us. Use us in mighty and great ways. The gifts of the Spirit, Father, let them all work in this ministry. Not to lift us up, but to lift up the Lord Jesus Christ and thy Holy Spirit and thy word, so that others can see and know and want exactly what your word will give them if they will follow. Now, Father, be with us all through the remainder of this day. Keep us in health, Father. Keep us safe. And bring us all back together again this evening at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. And back into your word. Father, this is my prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, everyone. Be careful. Walk with God, he'll walk with you. Have a great day. And hopefully, be with me come 6 p.m. this evening. Bye-bye now.